Welcome to episode number 300 of the Family Podcast Network. Today on episode 300, we're going to talk a little bit about girls who get caught in bad romance relationships are much more likely to get their hearts broken than men are. We're going to discuss a little bit about why that is and what creates that. What can we do with our girls as we raise them that might can help prevent that, or if nothing else, at least mitigate some of that. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is April the 30th, 2013. Our topic for today is, why is it that girls always get burned worse in bad romance? Yeah, that's right. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what is it about ladies that often causes them or puts them in position where bad romances have a tendency to affect them more than men. We're going to go over that a little bit today, and what can we do for our kiddos, and if nothing else, at least getting you thinking about potential things that you can do with your kiddo to help prevent them, your girls, from getting destroyed in these kinds of relationships. Before we get into that, let's cover some quick housekeeping, guys. If you want to get notified of any of the new episodes that are coming out of the Family Podcast Network, simple and easy ways to do that. Jump over to the Family Podcast, right-hand side, name and email address put you on my very special list, and on that list, it's one of the people's most favorites. We have very few people that unsubscribe to it. Because you can actually get to know what's coming out today, what did Trey talk about, to make sure that you never miss out on that one episode that could have changed everything if you just would have listened to it. Don't forget to share this episode out, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all those other good places. If you like it, share it. This is the way this place grows. I want to say thank you to those of you guys who do share this out. We sure do appreciate you. You guys mean a lot to us. And you do a lot more than I ever can do to get this show out there. Thank you for that. If you have any questions, comment, thoughts, concerns, something you want to hear on an episode, lots of easy ways that you can do that. You can always email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. At TheFamilyPodcast.com, over on the right-hand side, you'll see a little button that says Ask Trey or Jeff a question. Click on that. Whatever you do, you can put it on an app right on your computer that allows you to ask questions. Over that, it goes to a direct recording service. The reason why I do that one instead of just the regular phone one is that the quality is so much better. So I do recommend that you use the SpeakPipe app on the side of that. If you get the opportunity, go ahead and jump over, leave us a question, drop us a note. You can also email us if you have like an article that you want us to go over or you want me to go over. Then you can always send that to me, TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. Mail that over to us. We want to talk about that. If you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. That's right. If you feel like you're getting three dimes of support and encouragement and entertainment in some cases at every one of these shows, consider becoming a PTACker. That is Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. Make sure to jump on there. Become a member. You can do it at $5 a month, or you can do it for $50 for an entire year. When you do that, you do get access to premium membership stuff that is only available to members. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today, which once again is going to be talking about girls who get into bad romance, how they have a tendency to have their hearts broken worse than men. I think this is a major thing. The reality is we have to face some fundamental truths. Dating is popular in America, and dating at young ages is very popular, and doing what we want in these things is very popular. Now, I want you guys to hear me say, in the Casa de, or excuse me, the Homestead de Gibson, our rule set is that we encourage our kids to wait to have sex. It's what, first off, guys, I have permission from my wife to share this, but my wife did not wait, and I did. I chose not to have sex up until my wife. And it was a good decision, and it was one that I would choose over again. The emotional stuff that can come with it can be very different when you walk into that with one person. Now, that's a personal belief system. I'm not pushing that that's for you. I'm not pushing that your family should do that. I'm not even pushing that I'd have more respect for you if you did that, because I wouldn't. That is just something that we have chosen in our family. And so we really try to impart to our children certain ways to do that. We're going to talk some today of what we talk about in our family. And but I think there's, you know, the way that we approach it at Homestead de Gibson is that we approach it very much in lieu of a general broad spectrum. I approach both kids. So like one of the things that we believe is that first off, my wife and I are some Mac Daddy fools. We like to lay down the Mac and get some smooching going on before the other stuff occurs. I mean, you guys know that. We're going to get a little explicit today, just for the record, guys. So we are very big about that. We love to make out. We love to go all the way. It's the way it is in our house. We just enjoy that. However, we also teach our kids that that belongs within marriage. And so for us, one of the things that we push for is that we encourage our kids to not even kiss until they get married. Now, that's not trying to deny them a wonderful thing. Believe you me. That is, if anything, trying to get them as quickly as we can into that very wonderful thing. However, we also have a belief system that that can and eventually does often lead to more. Because it's hard not to. I think it's naturally programmed into us. Let me tell you, when my wife and I start there, it's really hard to keep it from going the rest of the way, if you know what I'm saying. And so that's a belief system that we teach. And so those are kind of broad spectrum things that we teach our kids. Now, mind you, we understand that we can't force our kids to do anything. Mind you, we can't sit there and make our kids do things. We can't watch them all the time. There comes a point that we just have to release them to make their own choices after we've given them all the education that we feel like we can in the best possible way that we can. And we have to acknowledge that there comes a point we have to just let them off the chain and just hope they'll make good decisions and hope they'll deal with the consequences if they don't make good decisions. That's what we have to hope for. So those are kind of the broad spectrum things, but I think it's important to talk a little bit about the differences between boys and girls. In a lot of cases, men are often much more visual. We see things. We're more stimulated by sight than touch in some cases. We're often more stimulated by sight than even emotional components to it as well. And so I think this is frustrating for most ladies, because I think the majority, and ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, we have a lot of lady listeners out there. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong in this, but women seem to be a little less visually focused. I think it's why pornography is such a big thing with men and not with women. It's also why I think that Harlequin romances are much bigger with women and not with men, is because for them it's more mental. And so, again, these are broad, generalized, sweeping statements. If I'm offending somebody, because that's not you, I don't mean that in overgeneralization here. But I think we have to take a look at some of these effects. Because the reality is, if we approach girls in the same way that we do boys, I think we're going to set ourselves up for a little bit of a failure here. Because girls do things a little bit different. And this was actually kind of instigated. I found an article written by, her name is Jill Filipovic, I believe. But this was written over at TheGuardian.com. It's called, Girls Who Get Caught in Bad Romance Risk More Than Just Broken Hearts. And she's going to go through some of the research today that kind of backs up some of this stuff. It was a study done in the University of New Mexico, and it's a fantastic article and a great study. I went and read up on it just to see if we could kind of discuss some of the reliability and validity of the study in a statistical sense, and it seems to be a pretty solid study. So I like it. I think it's good, and we're gonna kind of go through how Jill today goes over it in this article over at The Guardian. So let me read you guys. I've just kind of pulled what I wanted to emphasize with you guys, and we'll go back over it here in just a minute. This is kind of cutting right in the middle of it. It says, the pressure that we put on girls to see relationships as corners of their identities is the real culprit. That's the conclusion from a new study from the University of New Mexico, which found that girls are more likely than boys to experience negative mental health effects when the reality of a given relationship doesn't match with their expectations. Romantic relationships are particularly important components of girls' identities and are, therefore, strongly related to how they feel about themselves, good or bad. As a result, relationships that diverge from what girls envision for themselves are especially damaging to their emotional well-being. Boys, Solar said, this is the person who did this article from the University of New Mexico, boys don't exhibit the same negative emotions because they don't identify themselves according to their relationships. They identify themselves by their interest, including sports and extracurricular activities. So when their romantic relationships aren't what they envision, it doesn't feel as much like a big personal sting to them. The teaching happens for she went on to talk about how we often teach girls how to envision themselves as directly tied, contingently tied to the relationships that they're in. And so if their relationships are doing poor, then they're doing poor. And if their relationships are doing well, then they're doing well, right? And so they go on and says, this teaching happens formally and informally. In many abstinence-based sex education programs, girls play games that include picking all the petals off a rose to symbolize the fact that they lose the fundamental part of themselves every time they have sex. And I'll be honest, I've seen this. This is Trey speaking again. I've seen this kind of thing done in many of the youth groups that I grew up in. There's this mentality that every time you do that, you lose a piece of themselves. And which, you know, you said, well, what's wrong with that, Trey? You know, when I stopped and thought about it, how many of the times did we educate boys on the same thing? And I saw it sometimes, but I would say in a percentage base, 75% of the time, 3 out of 4 of those times, they did not pitch it that way. It was the girls who had lost a piece of themselves rather than the flip side to that. But here's where I think it starts to get really interesting. They went on to say, at home, in two-parent families, girls often see mom doing more of the emotional labor of childcare and partner care than dad. We celebrate marriage as the most important day of a woman's life. Much more rare to hear someone tell a groom that it is his big day. It is equally as odd to hear a groom say that he wants to look like a prince on his wedding day. Women still overwhelmingly take their husband's surnames on marriage, literally naming themselves according to their relationship. And even in the political realm, women routinely reference their roles as mothers and wives alternatively to justify an opinion or to soften the threat of their own power. American girls grow up in a culture where women are ornamental. And a very particular type of woman with a very particular type of body is used to represent sex itself in advertisements for anything from cars to web hosting. But girls also hear that they are the gatekeepers to sex. Listen to this, guys. This is kind of important. The gatekeepers to sex, that having sex too soon or with too many people will leave them damaged, and that men don't respect women who sleep with them. Sex, girls learn, is a thing boys want and girls have. But the girls aren't supposed to give it up too easily, and sex isn't about their own desires anyway. Yet somehow, if girls just play by these contradictory rules, if they're pretty and sexy, but not sexual or slutty, their Disney movie Prince Charming will just ride up. We're almost done here. It says it also means praising our daughters more. So she kind of moves on to the conclusion. It also means praising our daughter. First off, I cut out a lot of stuff here because some of the suggestions that Joe made I thought were just dumb. I felt like they were a little bit emotionally based responses that I don't think are truthfully helpful, but I thought they had some good stuff in here. It also means praising our daughters more often for their talents, abilities, and hard work, and not just for their helpfulness, beauty, and behavior towards others. It means expecting our sons to be emotionally competent, generous, and sensitive to how their actions impact the people around them. There's no weakness in loving the people you love or prioritizing your family and significant other. But there are always danger in a model of womanhood defined by sacrifice and folding yourself into others. We all want girls to develop positive self-esteem and feel a strong sense of self-worth, but it's awful hard to do in a society where, for girls and women, self-identity is relational and not about yourself at all. Wow. What a good article. And we're going to do our best today to slice this up and keep it manageable because, admittedly, this is a lot of stuff. But I think it's absolutely essential that we spend some time covering all this stuff. So I'm just going to kind of slice this up just a little bit of time, see what we can get through today. And I won't hold you guys too long or go over, but let's just start off with this idea. The very first statement that really caught my attention in this article was, romantic relationships are particularly important components of girls' identities and are, therefore, strongly related to how they feel about themselves, good or bad. My wife and I are actually in the middle of co-authoring a book right now, and it's called Practicing Divorce, The Casualty of Casual Love. And what Corey and I talk about is modern dating. And how in many senses the principle of modern dating today is very much like it's kind of like divorce in practice. So two people come together, they blend their lives together as quickly as possible. They fuse themselves by sharing things, by only talking with each other, by getting to know each other deeply and very intimately. In often cases, knowing each other better than anyone else. In many cases, you know, depending on what belief systems are, they often have sex, which is a very intimate act, and really blend themselves together. But then one day they realize it, they just don't like this thing about this person. Or they can't stand that part about them, or they just, you know, all of a sudden they change and they get different and all that other stuff, and they break up. And so Corey and I argue in our book that this breakup, this split, this tear that happens in the midst of all of this is very, very painful, and it is similar, if not identical, to many divorces. We have to break up everything we shared, we have to break up. Friends that we had before often get split in two. all sorts of wakes of destruction, and we do that, and then we start dating somebody else, and then we break up with them. And we start dating somebody else, and we break up with them. And over and over and over, it's no wonder that we're having such a hard time with marriages getting divorced. Because the reality is, we are a very practiced divorce culture in America. Now, I'm not saying this is for everybody. What I am not saying is that some of you guys out there that listen to this that are divorced, that obviously it's because you dated a whole bunch of people and broke up with them, and that's why it happened. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is that we have a culture that has become very easy to go together and break up, you know, go together with somebody and then break up with them later. I'm not saying it's easy emotionally. What I'm saying is that the process is not very hard. And so as such, we have breakup after breakup after breakup after breakup. And we have a tendency as parents to look at this and say, oh, well, this is just normal. This is just what kids go through. And don't get me wrong, I'm not arguing normalcy in the sense of it happens a lot. Today I want to question whether or not this kind of mentality happening is really the best thing. And by that I mean normal for what is human nature, what is the human mind, what does the human heart need? Especially if we begin to understand that research is proving that romantic relationships are so dadgum important to our little girls. And we're not just going to approach this from one side. We're not just going to approach this from the side of girls need to stop dating a whole bunch of boys. We're going to approach this from the side, we've got to start teaching our men to step up and to acknowledge that when you choose to go out with somebody, you have something within your hand that is precious and is tender and can be very painful, and if we're not careful, can even affect the outcome of a person emotionally and mentally. We have to start teaching that it's more than just a quick Mac. For those of you guys who maybe aren't aware, like Mac back in my day meant like you making out or something like that, or amongst other things, maybe I should say. But with all of that said, is that it's not just getting an easy makeout session in with somebody or whatever else. So it's two-sided. We're going to have to approach both of these sides and see if we can figure out what happens. As a result, emotional relationships that diverge from what girls envision for themselves are especially damaging to their well-being. You know, we talk a lot about where do you find your senses of identity. And we've talked about that before on some other of the previous shows, and especially in teaching our kids how to figure out who they are. But you got to think. We all acknowledge that in the teenage years, this is a tumultuous time emotionally, relationships, right? In terms of relationships, we go out, we break up, and we acknowledge this in some sense of it being quote-unquote normal. But I want you to imagine that these are little girls that are taking this much worse than say, we men do. These are girls who have learned to define themselves by their romantic relationships and who they are by who they are dating. Or even if it's not who they are dating, it's the fact that they are dating. They have someone to link themselves to. And one of the interesting questions that I had in my mind was, okay, but where do they learn this from? And I think the author does a pretty good job of talking about things like this. Some of our sex education programs. She brings up a point here that for many of my Christian friends, you're going to frown at me. But she talks about in there getting past this idea that we teach abstinent only in sexual relationships and to our kids. And I don't believe in that, though I think that's the best choice for me. That was the best choice for me and myself before I got married. It's not the only choice for our kids. And it does our kids no good to not give them that because it makes us look incompetent. If we don't have the other answers like you can go ahead and have sex before you get married, you can do what some people say and try it out. If we do not present those options, it makes us look incompetent. I believe that is the wrong answer, and I believe that it offers out just a heartbreak for girls and guys alike, but mostly girls. It offers out heartbreak. And I think that we absolutely have to present those out there. But the number one things they say is these ideas of sex ed programs that talk about removing petals off of a rose, right? This signifies that they lose a part of themselves whenever they have sex, right? She also goes on to talk about two-parent families, right? Who does more of the emotional component, the guys or the girls? Well, the women do, right? Because the women, the nurturers. First off, that's a load of crap. Men can absolutely be equally as nurturing. And I know some people, well, Trey, that's just built into the genetic DNA. Girls are just more. No, that's bull crap. That's men's excuse to try to slither out of doing the crap in their home duties that they should be doing with their kids. That's just another excuse to wiggle out of them. It's all that is. Men can absolutely be just, and I mean just, as emotionally competent as girls. But who typically does it, right? Who does more of the child care? If you look at it, who even does more of the care of the relationship inside of a marriage? It's often women do. So who's got more emphasis on their relationships? For instance, so the other thing they bring up is, what's a woman's biggest day in her life? It's her wedding, right? It's when she connects herself romantically to someone else, right? Some of the bigger things we do. You don't hear men talk about that. I love that part that they said. You know, they even bring up, you know, like, which I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but they even talk about how women change their name to their husband's surnames, right? Linking themselves even more closely to their relationship. Even in the political realm, women actively reference their roles as mothers and wives and to justify, right? She brings up how Michelle Obama calls herself mom in chief, right? I mean, I find this stuff interesting. I mean, this is absolutely true. We really do this in our society, is that we push our girls to connect themselves in terms of their relationship. Now, I want to be really careful here to make sure that I'm clear. There's nothing wrong with connecting ourselves to our relationships. I mean, the relationship that I have with my wife is one of the most pivotal things that has ever happened to me in my life. It has been a major component to growing me into who I am and growing the belief systems that I have. I mean, everything that's about me is about this. So my wife and I were talking a while back about having affairs and whatnot, and she was asking me, she goes, do you think that you could be tempted? And of course, the answer is, of course, you always can be. And I said, one of the things that I remind myself is that without you, I mean, anything that someone could get attracted to in me right now has grown from the relationship that I have with my wife. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with us finding identity in those things. There's nothing wrong with finding happiness in these things. And I don't want girls to grow up, you know, being taught to resist those connections that we make. But the problem is that when girls who have this mentality go into a relationship that does not end well, research is showing us that they get devastated. And then it does something to them emotionally. You know, it's interesting. This author really kind of talks about destructuring, or at least disassembling, you know, traditional gender roles. And I've had people accuse me of that. Trey, are you just trying to disassemble basic, you know, gender roles? Frankly, my answer is yeah, I absolutely am. In the strictest of sense, these ideas of these things that we've gotten that's a woman's job and that's a man's job, in most cases are erroneous. Don't get me wrong. I believe that there should be a split and a division of the things that need to be done because we need to take care of each other. It's one thing for me to do all the work around the house by myself. It's another thing to share that work with my wife. And absolutely, I think there reaches a point to where you can stick yourself into a gender role that makes you feel good. Well, I'm doing man jobs. But that doesn't necessarily mean that your wife is happy. Your wife may do all the jobs that she loves to do. That doesn't mean that your husband's happy. The reason why I say we need to destructure or disassemble the traditional gender roles is not to redo it in a way that I think that you should. I think that we should disassemble these roles so that way two people within a marriage can sit down and say, what would help you be the happiest? What jobs can I pick up taking that you hate the most? And take care of each other. And if that means that men need to be changing diapers and staying home with kids, and mamas need to be going out and getting full-time jobs, then so be it if that is what your relationship needs to be, healthy and strong. I'm not suggesting it has to be that way. I'm just saying that. Am I willing to say, you know what, forget it. I'm going to go in there and braid my little girl's hair rather than sit outside using carpentry tools. Am I willing to let my wife build something with all our power tools while I sit inside and watch kids? Am I willing to do that? Am I always going to do that? No, we're not saying that you always have to do it that way. I love to build stuff. I'm in the middle of building a water catchment system out next to our house, and I am loving it. But I have to be willing and ready to say, okay, will I allow my wife to disidentify herself some with the relationship? Can she begin to identify who she is outside of her connection to other people, like myself and my kids? It's a brilliant question. It's a brilliant thing that we can look at. I see this very frequently with my wife. And my wife, Corey, and I have talked about this extensively at length. But we've talked about how most of the things that she loves, like, for instance, it's really hard to shop for her for birthday. For instance, I know Mother's Day is coming up, and I am desperately trying to find her something, but it's difficult. Because the things that she wants are typically things like new pots and pans. Now, don't get me wrong. I consider that like office supply. And I understand what it's like to want a new stapler and those kinds of things at the office. I frequently order those for myself, and I get that. But most of the things that my wife wants to get into are not about her. I was elated because a while back she asked if I would buy her a banjo. I was elated because that was her making an identity for herself that was not relationship-based. One of my questions for you ladies today, I know we have a lot of moms that listen to this show. Where do you find your identity? Is it in your relationships? I'm a mama. I'm a wife. I'm a blogger. I'm a mommy blogger, even more so. There's nothing wrong with any of those identifications, but what else? Are you also a shooter like I am? Are you a psychologist? Are you a philosopher? What else? What else do you have that is a piece of who you are that does not contingently hinge itself to someone else? We talk about the greatest way of how do we keep our kids from doing this? How do we keep our little girls from finding identity in their sexual relationships or the romantic relationships once they enter high school or junior high or whatever else? We have to go first. I mean, I want you to think about that, moms, right now. Dads, do it too. Research shows that you're not traditionally as inclined to this, but I want you to ask yourself, where do you find your identity? I consider myself a great podcaster. I love to do speaking. Love speaking engagements on stage. Love it. What do you find your identity in? The next question then is, do you find it mostly in things that involve other people? And I want you to be thinking now, what does that teach your girl? What does that teach them? And what kind of effects can that be having on them? Like I said, my wife and I frequently talk about this, about how I want her to identify an identity outside of just who she is to us as a family. Startles me sometimes. So I was very excited when my wife asked if she could pick up a banjo. She hadn't played it very much since we did our move over here, but I love seeing that she's trying to grow herself in that. Because my daughters need to see her creating an identity outside of that. I want them to see her creating an identity that's not just, I am Trey Gibson's wife. I want her to be developing an identity of, I am the owner and operator of Memoirs of a Whale. That's her website. I want her developing that outside of just us. How do we impress this on our kids? How do we move our girls away from just the relationships? We start praising them much more often for the things that they're able to do, their abilities, their skill sets, the things that they're passionate about. We start praising the things that we see in their personalities that are outside of just those things that influence other people. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with praising our kids for their kindness or helpfulness and all those things. Those are great things. But we have to be able to see more than just that, and especially in our girls. We don't want them only getting attention whenever they're having a direct influence with other people emotionally in terms of relationships. Those are good things. We want to see past that. We want to see past their beauty. It's a big one right now. I thought that author Jill nailed it on the head when she talks about what sex is supposed to look like and how we throw that on everything from billboards to web hosting. We have to move away from this idea of beauty. In our household, in the homestead to Gibson, we actually do not refer to physical prettiness as beautiful. So if my daughter comes in and she looks great in her dress, I don't say, oh my gosh, you look beautiful. I don't say it. Now, I may say you look pretty. But for us in our household, we're really trying to define this idea of beauty as something that is about a person, not about what you look like. There's nothing wrong with being pretty. Nothing wrong with it at all. Thank God there's nothing wrong with not being pretty. Well, I guess that's why they made microphones and podcasts so Trey could be successful. But we need to stop praising them so much for the beauty. We need to stop praising girls so much on just their behavior towards others. And start noticing what their behaviors are towards themselves, towards their own education and knowledge. My daughter, Anna, is a biologist. She loves biology and critters and insects. She loves that kind of thing. She loves science. She loves the Socratic method of thinking. She's my little philosopher. So we move away from those things. And we start moving towards seeing them for who they are, for the individual personality characteristics that they carry, more than just what their relationships connect them to other people. It also means, on the flip side, we have to teach our boys to step up and be more emotionally competent, as the author said. I love that. We need to teach them how to step up, how to be generous, how to be sensitive. We need to teach our kids, our boys, that relationships are also valuable as well. We need to teach them, on the flip side, to understand that while they may not directly understand it, they understand some piece of what it's like to have your life connected into relationship. It makes it a lot harder to go along and to damage and to hurt somebody when we know the impact that it has on people and people around them. You see, that's the principle here. I really am a man of egalitarian belief systems. I believe that all men and women were created equal. We all have skill sets, things that we're better at. Some of them, you might can argue, have some level of influence based off of gender. I would argue that it's the way we socialize these genders. And if we can learn to balance these things out and just figure out what works for us, move away from this idea that we have to have our self-worth tied up in what our relationships are with people around us, and just grow ourselves. Just build ourselves as strong as we can. I think you're going to see a crop of women that are going to grow and become amazing individuals. That know who they are, that know why they're there, and love the relationships that they're in, but acknowledge the reality is that is not the most important thing. It sounds harsh, and sometimes, in some ways, it may sound contradictory. But we never want our girls getting their positive self-esteem and tied up into relationships, because the reality is relationships are contingent on one variable that is unreliable, and that's humankind. Humankind is not reliable. It's human nature. It's the human way. We fail. We mess up. We screw up. We do things we wish we wouldn't have. We say things we know we should never have said. And if we're teaching our girls to be dependent on these things, we're setting them up for extreme pain. So no, I reject that model. And I say, I'm going to teach my daughter to understand who she is independent of other people. I'm going to teach my daughter to understand who she is independent of any man, of any friend, to know who she is and what she loves, in the belief that she will develop friends through that in the most healthy way that she could. That's what I want for my daughter. That's what I want for Anna. That's what I want for Cora. That is what I want for Charlotte. I say we reject our society. That all of our self-identity and ourselves and figuring out who we are is relational. And I suggest that maybe we find out that figuring out who we are outside of the relationships around us produces the most healthy girls that you can imagine. Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join Jeff and I this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast, where Jeff and I are going to sit down and duke it out on a topic. Sometimes they're tough, sometimes they're hard, and sometimes they're dumb. No, I'm just teasing. You guys want to come check us out on Friday. Jeff and I are cooking up a good show for you then. Guys, hope you guys have a great day and a great week. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys on Friday.